All right, part four, bank on yourself, retirement planning. This is really cool. This was one of the first reasons why we decided to pull the trigger 14, 15 years ago on a banking policy designed the correct way. And so if you've not listened to part one, two, or three, you may want to quickly go back or at some point. So I'm going to be talking about some stuff that you may hear out of order. That's fine. So this session here is what's a different way that we could, so 15 years ago, what's a different way that we could plan for retirement? And so I knew about all the traditional ways. You have a 401k, you have a pension, maybe you have mutual funds, stocks, bonds, you have the value of your house, you have maybe a business you're going to sell someday. What else? You're just saving money in your checking account. You have Social Security income that's coming in. You have an inheritance from your family. There are different ways when you think about, hey, whenever I decide to slow down, maybe it's not full retirement. Maybe it's just slow down and not work 50 hours a week. Maybe it's only work 20 hours or do something that you enjoy that doesn't pay as much. You need income to survive at some point, right? And so that income, that money has to come from somewhere. What I'm going to talk about very, very high level and quickly, it's very simple actually, is how do you use this asset, this banking asset, this whole life insurance contract with these special riders to build an asset that you can use for retirement. And I will tell you, you want to make sure you have the right components as you build this so that it works appropriately. And some of the other sessions episodes I talked about this. So I'm just going to talk about kind of what it is, and we'll make sure you get it built properly, because you can actually build a policy missing some things, some special features. And this is not, I'm not trying to hype this up. Like, there's some special features that sometimes it's too late when people have a policy, like, oh, I didn't even know that existed. And so the policy won't be as efficient or work like you think. So anyways, the idea for me for retirement planning is don't lose money. The number one rule, don't lose money. It used to be as risky as I could when I'm younger because I have time to make up, right? And as you get older, you shift from stocks to bonds and it's not quite as risky. And I don't know if that's legit or not. I'm not going to challenge that. I'm not a financial planner, but I'm just saying it didn't work for me. Because losing money is losing money. And whether you lose it when you're 25, it's a dumb idea. Or whether you're 60, it's a dumb idea. Like, you don't ever want to lose money no matter what age you are. So why is it okay to take huge risks and then lose it? Like when I bought AOL stock at its peak and then I lost all my money. Or gold and silver at its peak and I lost money. So I've made some dumb moves until I got a little wiser. I'm like, wait a minute. If there's a guaranteed way to never lose money, the policy builds value and it grows guaranteed. You never lose money and it compounds on itself, meaning it's true compounding. So the charts that I would see for retirement planning would show this is a projected 7% return over 30 years of your portfolio or 20 years or whatever it might be. And it looks great on paper, but in reality, it never happens that way because every year you don't stack another 7% on 7% on 7%. The value can go down. Like in 2008, 2018, almost 10 years, the stock market was flat. It went down and it took a decade to get back even. That's a big drop. Losing money is much more damaging to investment returns than gaining. You can do your own research on that. I learned that losing money is much more damaging. So if you have $1,000 in an account, and it grows 20% in 1 year, and then the next year it drops 20%, how much money do you have? You have less than $1,000. And yet over the 2 years, the average return was zero. But it's negative because it went up 20%, which means it's a larger number, and then take 20% of that larger number and it drops, and now you're below where you started. So just keep in mind that your goal, at least one asset class, is to never lose money. Like, you want security and safety, right? You don't want to work your whole life to find out you're too risky. That's what banking does. It's guaranteed to go up. You know what it is. With dividend payments, it can accelerate. With POAR riders and all these other things you can add, it can accelerate. And so you're building this block of cash that you can project fairly closely with different illustrations that insurance companies give you, We're guaranteed what it's going to look like, and then kind of a range. So if we hit kind of 100% of our what we think it's going to happen with dividends and growth, it's this. If it's 50, we do 75. Like, you can show a pretty reasonable trend, and I've done that for my own policy, and it's fairly accurate. Like, it kind of shows up as they project, because insurance companies are very conservative. They've been around 150 years. They don't want to lose money. They're owned by they're mutual companies, right? So these are not scams or Ponzi schemes. They want these things to last forever. And so the projections are very realistic. They're not super sexy from the first year. You look at them, like, oh, first year, that's up. Yeah, you have to look out and give it time to compound, and then you notice how fast it accelerates because you've been patient. That's a big thing. And so the really neat thing about a life policy that has cash building at the same time is that at some point in the future, there's a term that you will hear. It's called withdraw to base, convert to loans. Withdraw to base, convert to loans. So what happens is you're funding this asset all the way through, and at some point you can stop funding it. You can do it early. I don't recommend it. You want to fund this as far as you possibly can, because it's compounding on itself. It's generating more value. The more you make your premium payment, it compounds faster. And every time you put more money in the rider, it compounds faster. So you look forward. I look forward to paying my premium every year. This is the weirdest thing. You know, $20,000 we pay between the two of us every year. I look forward to that because it's compounding. It keeps growing and growing and growing, never goes down. So I can't wait to pay it and see my statement. And so what happens is at some point you can start taking money out of this asset. And what you do is you withdraw the money you put in. So whatever premiums you sent the company, essentially over the period of time, that's going to be a chunk of money, whatever that is. Let's call it $300,000 you've paid. You start withdrawing that back out of the policy tax-free at your leisure, whenever you want, as much as you want. It's your money, tax-free. So it's been compounding tax-free, and it is withdrawn tax-free. Now, this is where you can get in trouble if you've designed a MEC policy or other things. So I'm gonna assume you've done this the right way and followed all the right guidelines. And it's not that hard, really, once you set it up. It's just running. So you're taking money out of your policy to a point where you've withdrawn all the money you put in, and then you convert to taking loans on your cash tax-free. So what happens is you can have this enormous amount of money that you're unwinding as you need it in later years. All the time, it's backed by life insurance. So if you were to pass away, this chunk of money, and it could be $1,000,000, $2,000,000, $3,000,000, $4,000,000, it could be $500,000, gets paid to your beneficiaries or your spouse. So then it gets paid again. And by the way, death benefits on life insurance are tax-free. There's no taxes, and it's the fastest way. There's no probate. There's no estate planning. As long as you have a beneficiary listed, it gets paid out within weeks, a few weeks. That's the beauty. There's no taxes. Like a 401k, if you inherit a 401k from someone, you're paying taxes at your earned income level. I learned that the hard way from when my dad passed. Like, oh my God, I got to pay 25, 30% on top. So that all that money's not ours? Nope. You're paying tax eventually. Were these policies, no tax. So it's an incredible way where you can build this policy. And essentially, you can look at the projection and go, okay, at this age, I'm going to have, I don't know, call whatever it is, $2 million of value in there. Of premiums paid plus cash is $2 million. Let's just say a million. It is whatever you design. At 5%, if you withdraw $1 million at 5%, it's $50,000 a year. It's $4,000 a month on top of your Social Security. And by the way, life insurance payments of this, of the premiums being drawn back and loans of a life policy are not considered taxable income. They do not affect your Social Security payment. That's what's so mind-blowing. If you're drawing Social Security income and you work another job or part-time and you're generating income, part of that is reduced. Some people don't know that till they kind of get there. So what happens is people are like, oh, When I start drawing Social Security at 65, 6, 7, 70, whatever your age is, I can't work because if I work, I'm not getting all the money, which is, that's just dumb because you need money. Yes, some of it's offset, but with banking policies, it's not. It's your money in your bank that you're withdrawing tax-free. I know it sounds like this can't be true. You're going to find it is true, and it's been going on this way for a long time. So what a great way to have this, and then along the whole way, it's being offset by the, or being the foundation is life policy. So your beneficiary is going to get it. Something happens to you midway, you get this enormous amount of money that's paid out, because usually the death benefit on these is much larger than the cash value. Maybe, so there's this huge payout still, this peace of mind knowing if something happens, you get $1 million or $2 million tax free. And then what do you do? You start another policy. You take that money and you reinvest it either into a new policy, your kids, you teach them this concept, and now you're putting funding, you continue this generational process with your kids and your grandkids. And at some point it will be so massive, after two generations, this will be so massive because this keeps snowballing that you have extreme flexibility and freedom to do what you want. Hope this is helpful.